are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Today it is May 4th, 2021, and on the show today we discuss Lance Leipold being named the new head coach at KU. Baylor has a new women's basketball coach, and then we'll get to some of the NFL draftees out of the Big 12 Conference, 22 players selected. We'll get to some of the top names on today's show and then go through more of them throughout the week, talk about, you know, where they were drafted, what kind of fit they were as well, and more. So packed show today coming your way. All right, let's get to it on today's show. So Kansas has a new football coach. It is Lance Leipold. He is coming over from the University of Buffalo to be the head coach. And this is a really interesting hire. If you guys go back about 2 to 3 weeks ago, I had Jesse Newell of the Kansas City Star on the show, and we discussed, hey, will they make the hire now? And by all indications, it got down between Lance Leipold and it got down between him and Jeff Monken. So obviously two guys coming from the Northeast, and that was really where Travis Goff lowered his focus on those two guys, and they ultimately decide to go with Lance Leipold. So the, you know, if you watch the press conference, this guy is not about winning the press conference. It's actually really funny. We had Dennis Dodd on SiriusXM's Big 12 show, Big 12 Today, yesterday. And he, you know, he said, look, this guy's not really about winning the press conference. It's not really what he does, but for him, he's just a grinder. He's just a football guy. And I think that's what it takes at Kansas, especially this version of Kansas, to win. They have done a good job recruiting. The key for them is to holding on to as many of their guys as they can. But here's a story on Lance Leipold, you know, if you guys don't know about him. He was a national championship-winning coach at Wisconsin-Whitewater. There he won 6 national championships between 2007 and 2014, and that is at the Division III level. So obviously a guy who's got some winning pedigree. And then he went on to Buffalo, where he was 5-7, 2-10. And then from then on, 6-6, 10-4, 8-5, 6-1. His overall record there was 37-33. He was 25-20 in the Mid-American Conference. And he went to 3 straight bowl games in his last 3 years. He went 2-1 in those bowl games. He is, you know, if you go back and look at those Buffalo teams, what they did really well was they were adaptable. They were very good at adapting to whatever they, you know, needed to be in terms of their playing style. And if you go back and look at last year, they were excellent at running the team, running the football, excuse me. That's what the team was built off of, their ability to run the ball. And then, you know, in previous years, they did a really good job of passing the football as well. So he is really good at adapting the play styles. And actually, when he talks about being multiple, which we hear about all the time from certain coaches, I really do believe he is a guy who wants to be multiple. He actually wants to do and say, hey, look, we can do multiple things. We're just going to really cater this towards whatever we're, you know, our team is good at doing. And last year, you know, they had Jared Patterson, who ran for over 1,000 yards and 19 touchdowns. Right. And they also had Kevin Marks, who ran for 740 yards and 7 touchdowns. I mean, this team was all about running the football last year. They totaled over 2,000 yards on the ground. They averaged 6.7 yards per carry and scored 32 touchdowns. That really was their game last season offensively. That's really what they hung their hat on. You know, and then the previous seasons, they've been more about, as I had said, throwing the football when they had needed to. Right. That's kind of been a focus of theirs in other years. Back when they had Tyree Jackson, right? Everybody remembers him. You know, he threw for 28 touchdowns, 12 interceptions his last year, and over 3,000 yards in 2018. And you go back even to 2017, he was really good throwing the football as well. So they are really good at using their personnel. What he's going to do is he's bringing over 7 of his coaches from Buffalo to join the staff at Kansas. So he has plans on making, you know, kind of taking a lot of what he did at Buffalo and then using that at Kansas. And I think if you're going to kind of go the mainstream coaching route, this is kind of the guy to go with. This makes a lot of sense because what he is good at is taking talent, maybe lesser talent, and then developing that talent and getting them more towards where they need to be. You know, just, you know, kind of San Antonio Spurs, right? Getting a bunch of guys to do a couple things really well and having each one of those guys plugging in and doing their thing really well. And, you know, the sum being greater than the parts kind of in this situation, right? Not a lot of strong, talented guys out there, you know, from a top tier talent perspective, but the finished product had some great results. I mean, you really look at those last 3 years at Buffalo, 10-4, 8-5, and 6-1. I mean, that's tremendous. It's a 24-10 record in his last 3 years. And then in conference as well, they were 17-4. So, and they won their division in the conference twice. They were MAC East division champions twice. But this is really, this is a good spot for him, I think, at his age too. He is 56 years old, so kind of at that point where, you know, if you're going to make one more move, now is the time for a guy like Lance Leipold. And the first question I have really is, how much of the roster will he be able to retain, right? With the transfer rules and the fact that a lot of the players have begun to really like Emmett Jones. I mean, you go back and you read, you know, I read a story from 24/7 Sports about the spring game this weekend and a lot of emotions from the players about Emmett Jones, who had done a good job keeping this group together through what was what a really, I mean, just a difficult time because of all the coaching change, you know, the coaching change with Les Miles, and then, you know, having to get potentially a new AD, getting them getting Travis Goff, and then them obviously hiring Lance Leipold. I mean, he had to keep that group together, and he did, and a lot of players praised that. And now Lance Leipold is open to retaining some of the assistants on the staff, and I think Emmett Jones, that's the guy that they're looking at. That's really the guy that they have to look at keeping because a lot of the players were on board with Emmett Jones and what he did there. And so I think he's an important part of, and look, he needs the opportunity. I mean, I think Lance Leipold has to sell him on Kansas. Lance Leipold has to convince Emmett Jones on his vision for KU and make it worthwhile for Emmett to stay if he wants Emmett to stay and then do the same thing in turn for the group of players that are there. So I think that might be the first step is, you know, for obviously for Lance Leipold at this point in time, you know, it's May 4th and spring football is wrapping up, but he's got to sell his roster ultimately, right, on this situation. He's got to sell the guys there right now on Kansas football. So, you know, because or else they will move on and transfer elsewhere. So he's got a very difficult job ahead of him. Especially because next year, I mean, you know, all the spring practices have come and gone and he has not begun to install any of his stuff. He just got there, for heaven's sake. He just introduced. The press conference was yesterday. So he's got such a long road ahead of him. And once again, we don't often do this, but it's time for fans to practice some patience. I know it can be difficult to do in situations like this, especially it can be very challenging, but Kansas and its fans need to practice patience with Lance Leipold and give him a chance to build what he wants to build, right? To get the personnel and the coaching staff he wants in there. And by all accounts, he's bringing over 7 of his guys, which is a pretty significant amount of you know, continuity, at least for the staff. And then we'll see what he retains there at KU and then adds on in addition. But he's got quite the job ahead of him. I think a lot of people believe he's the right man for the job. I felt like Les Miles was a really odd hire. I didn't love it at the time they made it. I know the recruiting was going in the right direction, but that team did not seem very disciplined. They didn't really seem like they had much direction. So while the talent was beginning to accumulate in some senses, it was not beginning to manifest itself. And I think Lance Leipold, hopefully, he can capitalize on some of the positives that Les Miles had going there and then add his own positives as well as a guy who brings that organization with him, right? That brings, you know, that structure that this program desperately needs. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll discuss Baylor hiring a new women's basketball coach. But first, a word from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family-run online auto parts provider that's been serving customers online for 20 years. If you go to rockauto.com right now, and you can see all the manufacturers, hundreds of them they have that have parts available for your car or truck. Rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all those parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so you know what we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, it sounds like Baylor Women's Basketball has its new head woman. It is Nikki Collins. She is going to be the next head coach at Baylor University. She is going to obviously, follow Kim Mulkey, who took the job at LSU. And Nikki Collins, I think this was a surprise to some people. She surprisingly departs the Atlanta Dream to go become the head coach at Baylor. And she was with the Dream for 3 seasons. She was the WNBA Coach of the Year back in 2018, and she is going to be the Baylor Women's Head Basketball Coach. Her record in 3 years in Atlanta, she was 38-52 overall. Last 2 years, not as good as her first year, but I'm not saying I really follow the WNBA very closely, but her playing days, she played at Purdue and Marquette, and then she played a little bit in the pros. She began as an assistant coach in the early 2000s. Colorado State, she coached at Ball State, Louisville, Arkansas, FGCU, and with the Connecticut Sun before she was hired as a head coach. And this is really, you don't usually see this move, right? You don't usually see the move going from NBA to college, at least from the men's side. I don't know how many WNBA to college there are, but if you had to ask me which one I thought was bigger, I mean, women's college basketball to me is, it feels a bit bigger than WNBA. Just because, women's college basketball, there's a lot of compelling storylines, obviously UConn for a long time, but you saw it this year. Like there's not, you don't usually hear about as many mainstream compelling WNBA storylines, right? This year, Arizona was just super compelling. The game between Baylor and UConn, it was super compelling in the situation with the fouls and whatnot and the personalities as well. I'm not saying the WNBA doesn't have that. It's not my point at all. It's just that I know, especially for our purposes, people who cover women's college basketball, there's so few teams in the WNBA. It's, even some players that are big-time players in college, it's tough for them to find spots at the WNBA sometimes. It just kind of shows you that the women's college basketball, a job like Baylor, to leave a place like the Atlanta Dream, and go here to coach, go to Baylor to coach, just kind of shows you, what regard Baylor University is held in. It's held in the regards as a pro team, right? It's held in that high esteem. The fact that somebody would leave a professional job to go coach college is pretty telling. Maybe she knows she wants to go to Baylor to be able to coach the college ranks, and that's really interesting. But here's the deal, is that she's 45 years old, so very young in her head coaching life. Remember, Kim Mulkey was 59, so, 14 years younger. Not a ton of experience, but, she is somebody that I think they want to keep the energy that Kim Mulkey brought, and that youth, I think, will help her do that. And once again, a coach of the year in WNBA is just a huge deal, she was able to do that. I think this is an interesting hire. I can't say that I'm super in tune with WNBA, but a really compelling hire, and I'll be interested to see where Baylor goes from here. But Nikki Collin, the next head coach of Baylor women's basketball. All right, we'll take one more break. We come back, let's talk about some of the Big 12 players drafted in the first couple rounds of the 2020 NFL draft. But first, a word from betonline.ag. You guys know the deal. Betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports action. Baseball is in full swing. You can track all the action at betonline.ag. NFL draft just came by. Just had the Derby, so events like that you can bet on. But obviously the Preakness and the Belmont, when those come around, you can bet on those as well. Get all the latest news, scores, and odds over at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, right now, and you will get 50% deposit bonus. If you deposit 50, they'll give you an extra 25. You deposit 100, they'll give you an extra 50 to play with. So you can go right now to betonline.ag, use that promo code Locked On for 50% off. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so 22 Big 12 players were drafted in this year's NFL draft, and I believe that was the lowest amongst all Power 5 conferences. Now, I know the Big 12 only has 10 teams, But still, this was not a fantastic look for the conference. And I wanted to wait a day before I kind of talked about this because, you know, obviously I work with SiriusXM and doing the Big 12 show. We discussed what can the Big 12 change to change their fortunes in this kind of department. And to me, you know, and with a lot of people that we're talking with, Holly Rowe, Gabe Eicher, Dennis Dodd, they really do think starts with Texas, and not just the Texas football program, but the state of Texas as well. So many five-star blue-chip kids come from that state. Obviously, it's just got such a high population. It's so football crazy that so many kids come from there, and the Big 12 needs to retain more of those five-star kids from Texas. That's just something they absolutely have to do moving forward. And I think they definitely, you know, I think Sark has plans on changing that. And places like, you know, Kansas State, Texas Tech, TCU, you know, Oklahoma State need to improve with those kinds of things moving forward for the conference. But, you know, I think it starts in the state of Texas. And look, if it's multiple years in a row, I think then I'll start to begin to get concerned. But at this point in time, I'm not overly concerned yet with kind of the situation. All right, so let's talk about some of the guys that went in the second round. Let's start. The first guy from the Big 12 that was taken was Tevin Jenkins. All right, so Tevin Jenkins, offensive tackle, obviously, from Oklahoma State. He goes to the Bears. I thought this was a really good pickup. Number one, the Bears need tackle help desperately. I think he fits in there. I think they might want to play him at left tackle, but I believe in him as a right tackle. I believe in him also as a guard, too, just because, look, for that offensive line, they have to produce this year. They have to win this year because Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, the GM and coach, their jobs are on the line. I mean, they cannot go 8-8 and make the playoffs last year. That's when I heard about, you know, them getting Andy Dalton. I thought that cannot possibly be their solution to what's been going on there. They cannot possibly be thinking that starting Andy Dalton is the way to go and the way for them to improve moving forward. I don't think he starts, if he does start, it's not for that long. And I thought this was a great get for the Bears at 39, a guy that people thought would be going, you know, top 25 for sure. You know, Mike Gundy had even told us on Big 12 Today that he didn't foresee him going past 25 because he knew the Jaguars liked him a lot. But this is, you know, this situation here is that I think it's a good one. They definitely need help. He's going to get a chance to play as well. I don't think he's going to be the left tackle. I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be an awesome right tackle, man. I think he's going to be a really good right tackle or even guard because not he doesn't have the longest wingspan, but he is nasty. He's mean, get downhill. He's got a big body as well, 6'6", 317. Can get at you. Good wide frame. So I like him. I like him really on the right side of their offensive line. I think it's a good fit. Trayvon Morig, he goes to the Raiders at 43. So this was an interesting pick, and he's, look, I mean, Morig is going to be a guy that's going to be, you know, one of those back-end guys as a safety, and we talked about him. He's really pretty good in coverage for a guy, and I think that's what the Raiders want, and they need to be able to have some help in that back end. So, you know, they got a guy who's, you can play center field, but also, you know, the guy who can lock people up. There's concerns about his size. But, you know, I think this is a good pick for them, and I think they're going to trust him in coverage because it's a guy who had 19 pass breakups, you know, during the past two seasons. So that's somebody that I think has a good chance to make an impact there. All right, 51, my Washington football team took Sam Cosmi out of Texas. I loved this pick. I thought there was a chance that Sam Cosmi would slide into the first round. He did not, and I love the fact that Washington got a guy here who had an excellent pro day. He is a big, physical guy at 6'6", 314. I think he's going to have a chance to play, you know, right off the bat. I know Washington, obviously, that they've got some questions on the offensive line, but for them right now, I think this was a good fit. And he is going, once again, I mentioned, he's going to have a chance to compete right off the bat with the way this team is currently formed. And I think he's a tough player that kind of fits the John Gruden mentality. And so, you know, I thought that Washington might have taken Christian Darrisaw in the first round. They did not. They decided, hey, let's go with Jamin Davis out of Kentucky. And so what they do after that, they said, all right, Now we got a guy like a Sam Cosmi available, a guy with a super high upside, and he's going to come in and he's got a chance to play, you know, kind of right away. Jerron Christian, I know, had some injury issues, so they want to see what happens there at left tackle. And right tackle, they got Morgan Moses. Obviously, Brandon Scherff, Chase Roullier, and, you know, that left side of the line is a big question for them. Eric Flowers is in there to compete, and I think Cosmi's in there to compete as well for a starting job, especially when you draft a guy in the second round. You do expect him to compete for a starting job, you know, pretty soon off the bat. And then the final guy in the second round that was taken, that's as far as we'll go today. We'll talk more about the guys tomorrow, kind of the later round picks. Creed Humphrey goes at number, it's the 63rd overall pick. It is the 32nd pick in that round, and or 31st pick rather, in that round, and he goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs really didn't need line help, and it was really interesting because Andy Reid said that Orlando Brown, obviously old Oklahoma offensive lineman, said, hey, go get Creed Humphrey. You know, you're getting a dog if you're getting a guy like that. And he was kind of one of the guys that had some influence on Creed going there. And if you look kind of what's happening in the Kansas City offensive line this year, right, there it's an interesting case. I mean, Creed is being brought in right now to compete for a spot on that line. With Austin Blythe, you know, obviously they brought in Joe Tooney, who's going to start, you know, and they don't really know what's going to, I mean, they know at left tackle they're going to play Orlando Brown, but he's going to have a chance to compete with a guy like an Austin Blythe, who I believe is only on a one-year deal. And so with that in mind, I mean, that's a guy, you know, he wants to prove it. And they also got Trey Smith, too, really talented guy at Tennessee that the Chiefs did. So I think it's a good spot for Creed. I think, you know, at center and guard, he can do either of those, but I really do see him as a center. So he and Austin Blythe are going to go at it in practice for that starting spot. That's 110% what I foresee happening there. A good fit, a winning culture. And so for Creed Humphrey, you know, I think it's a really good, and that's also too, like his attitude as somebody who's, you know, went to Missouri and spent 4 years with a lot of Chiefs fans. I really do believe it's an excellent spot for Creed Humphrey. So I think it's all things told there. That's very good. All right, we'll go through the remaining rounds later on in the week. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at LO Big 12. You can follow me at Josh Neighbors_. And until next time, my friends, please stay safe.